This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
I'd like to acknowledge it's WYZE Radio 1480, and that's in Atlanta, Georgia. And the go-to people has a Mujahideen propagation, which is led by Shuja, I believe, Muhammad, Imam Furqan Muhammad, and a brother named Akbar. So we'd like to thank you all for spearheading, and what I mean by spearheading, folks, let me be a little bit more plainer. Financially support to make sure that our distant relatives and friends get what we are getting. So we just can't say enough about that. Now, before we get started, question is, what are we worth in dollars and cents in these United States? Can some computer, somebody, please give me some understanding of that? Dollars and cents. I mean, we don't have to be in the zone, but just teetering around the zone. How many? Talk to me, make a plan all the way. Six who? 600 billion. That's what I'm talking about. It's a lot of money, folks. $600 billion, radio audience, they say to be here, and I believe that. Now, $600 billion. It's a lot of money, y'all. Now, I have a $600 billion question. Why is it, what makes a young teenager shoot down another teenager for no reason at all, looking just like him? That's $1 million question, $600 billion question. What makes that happen? Hey, who? Well, that's at the end, top end. But where'd that hate come from? Big Brian? Well, let's go a little deeper. Now, well, that's a little bit too sophisticated for what we want. We want to make it plain. You know, what makes some mothers not care about what they're doing with raising their families? We're talking about $600 billion questions that deserves pondering. What makes a race of folk with a $6 billion income unstable in these United States? Well, not necessarily so. Now, what you gotta understand is this. Excuse me. When we look at this world, and in the time of our ancestors in slavery, Miss Julia, what did she say? At that time, she said, the way she could see Christ, it looked like Christ in the face, but the devil in the heart. Now, that was her conception of Christ, right? So she was disappointed too. Now, there's two men that I would like to use, as a man say, a metaphor or whatever you might call it, to present Imam Muhammad to you today. One of them is Dr. George Washington Carver. And his words in a short statement was, just give me a second. Please, just give me one second. Well, he says, he puts it this way. He says that for the keys to success, and he's talking about our people, if they only knew that the keys for their dreams lies within. Got it? Now you know we don't walk. Man walked us all the way through that powerful world, right? The world within. Talk to me now. The keys to our success. Now, all the great ones of the past have come and gone. All the great ones of the past have touched the soul, right? Huh? But, you know, it just couldn't quite get, I mean, it was in there. Follow me? Well, let's go to the next artist slash scientist. His name was David Ruffin. That's right. And I mean, you know, when you hear lyrics from a song, and that song take you from a good time to a thoughtful time, and take you into the soul of the matter. And again, even in that, he touched the soul, but he couldn't quite. The light wasn't bright enough for him to see his totality. So we know where I'm going, but just for our radio audience, we just want to say what a special day, what a special man we have to bring to you. And I'll be brief. He says that, David Ruffin says that, somewhere that should be for all the world to see, for all the world to see, a statue of a fool, made of stone now, and an image of a man that have let love slip through his hand. Now, let's reflect for a second here. If love reflected through his conscience, love gone, right? So what's in his conscience now? As you said earlier, hate, right? So the secular African-American community, we let love slip through our hands, and then we had a handful of hate, energized hate. I gotta go, but I'm moving forward. Now, the next step was, but to get to the matter, it said that on his cheeks was a golden tear. A golden tear should be placed upon his face. Now, this is a man that had a not so good of an ending, but at the same time, he left something. And he says, it should be a golden tear on his face. Now, the thing was, what he was saying to us, folks, we wanted to conceal. The idea was to conceal a broken heart. So if you got a son, if you got a daughter that's off the booster key, their heart is broken. And why is their heart broken? Because they're not seeing that full soul picture. And as we said, all the greats are come and gone, but none have what this would have left us with. Our great one, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Is that right or wrong? So this is what we're saying, that the man walked into the soul of man, and the very first thing that struck most of us is that we won't bend to the winds of emotionalism. And we're going to turn the light on in every room. Huh? He said, I'll be getting back with you soon. So he's back. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Yeah, we thank Brother Rafa. Thank Brother Rafa for those beautiful philosophical words. Yes, we are happy to be here again with you in the radio audience, listening audience. You who are Muslims, and I'm sure that there are many listening to us in the cities, various cities where we are heard on the radio. They're listening to us right now, and they are Muslims. I want to first say to you, Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak, a blessed Ramadan. And if I don't communicate with you before the Eid, the night of power, and the celebration of this month, which is coming soon, on the Eid day, a blessed Eid to all of you all. And keep the faith, as Christians and Muslims say, keep the faith and keep it strong. Yes. For a brief period of time, I want to talk about how we should see the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise, and how we should live it now in this troubled, morally troubled world we're living in. Yes, the Garden of Eden is a message. It's not just a story. It's a message to the believers. And the message is this, that God didn't create us for corruption and evil and violence. He created our soul so that it would never be at rest until there was no violence, no hatred, no deceit, no wrongdoings. If we would listen to our souls, we'd know at all times our soul is communicating to us. When we are doing the wrong thing with our minds, our soul lets us know that. It won't let us be comfortable. And we fight that and resist it. And if we fight it and resist it enough, our soul has been designed to be intelligent by its creator. So it will let us go on our way, and we'll have no conscience bothering us. But the soul, the nature of the soul, is to warn us that this is bad for you, this is good for you. And that is, when you are getting involved in something that is safe morally, it's going to be good for your life in now and in the future, the soul is made happy. Soul cheered up, live, it's enlivened by that. Yes. So, it's very important to understand that the Garden of Paradise is also a message to our space that we occupy, or the space that we are responsible for. For he put our parents in the garden, our first father and his wife, made them, put them in the garden, and he gave them responsibility for keeping the garden pure and beautiful like it was when he put them in there, put them in the garden, and for taking care of the things that grow in the garden, and benefiting from the things that grow in the garden. It was a garden of paradise, a garden of beauty, safety, security, and abundance of the things that we need to support life. Now, we know every garden is not like that we have. We all should think of the private quarters that we are responsible for, our apartments, our rooms that we live in, rent and living, our apartments that we rent, our homes that we buy or build. We should think of the private quarters that are ours. They're in our possession as our space for our paradise. And we should follow God's message to us, instructions in the message that is given in the scene, the Garden of Paradise, where the man and the woman was there by themselves, just like two couples just starting life together, right? Just starting life together. Only a male and female together. So we should think of our privacy that we are responsible for in the same way, and don't let it become filthy. Don't let it become offensive to good human taste. Keep it nice. Some of us, we don't value the price we pay for things that support us being comfortable and living a pleasant life. For instance, some of us buy a car. We buy it and then neglect to keep it clean. And about 1 week, it doesn't look attractive like it did when we bought it off the showroom floor or from the dealer. Doesn't look nice again. And we have spent that money on it. I asked one young man, I say, look, I say, that car, new car, and it was beautiful. I say, do you remember how it looked when you went and got it? I say, if it looked like it looked now, would you have bought it? And I said, take care, man. I went on about my way. Likewise for the home environment. The wife gets you to get her a nice, beautiful apartment, a condominium, a condo, a house. Nice and beautiful. And she say, yes, you can buy this for me. Now she's just seeing it now. You took it in just so she can see it. So they opened it up for you and you showed it to her. And after she looked at everything in there, the kitchen, the washroom, the toilet high, and ceiling, she checked the ceiling, make sure she checked everything. And she said, "You, honey, you can get this for me." Now this is the typical woman of today. In about 2 weeks, she's all depressed, watching her TV programs, and she want to cuss you out, and you didn't do a thing but buy her that beautiful place. But junk is everywhere. Kentucky Fried Chicken bone on the floor. You step on it and you're so embarrassed you won't even let her know you step on it. You won't tell her. You just pick it up and put it in the garbage. Can't walk around in the bedroom for things thrown everywhere. You get in the bed and you have to sleep on one side of the mountain of stuff that she piled up on it. And she sleeps on the other side. Now here is negligence. Negligence, not laziness. Most of them are not lazy. They love to work. They work at messing the house up every day. So the answer for this is for us to realize that God planned the universe. And the universe operates on the laws that God gave it, and we don't know even when it happened. Eons of light years in the past, and it's still operating on those laws as God made it to operate. Sun still rises as it did eons of light years ago, and the moon and the clouds cloud up in the rain, and the earth grows things just like it did eons of light years ago. That one who ordered that also is giving us a picture of our beginning in the garden with two couples, a male and a female, man and wife. That story never happened the way most of us kindergarten readers or thinkers see it. It's more a futuristic, a picture of the future, than a fit picture of what happened in the past. God is projecting to us what he would like to see happen in our life every season of development for society, or every generation, or every new trend for our generation. He would like to see us respect our environment and make our environment safe for health, safe for life, clean, not corrupted, and decent, and also productive. For it's abundance of life he trusts, abundance of life that he entrusts us with. Now, even though we are poor and have nothing, what's the reality as for our relationship with the one who made everything, created the world, gave us the world, the natural world? There's plenty of corn, plenty of food, apples, oranges, grapes, plenty of vegetables, cabbage and everything. I love cabbage and corn. Cabbage, corn, collard greens, everything, even black-eyed peas. Plenty of it. But now man has put his stake in the ground. And he'll claim these territories. He'll claim these farms. He'll claim them. And there's law to protect his rights. Don't say we still don't have garden that God gave us and it's having abundance of fruit. Still, that exists. And we can go to virgin lands right now where man's law is not established, and you will find trees and fruits and stuff. And in some places you will find the natives recognizing that no human being should claim those properties. And all the natives in that area have a right to go and get the fruits off the tree, have a right to use the boat, even the boat that the people made. Now the boat didn't grow out of the ground like a tree, but they took the tree that God made, and they got the wood, and they carved it, and they made a boat. And those primitive societies, they give nature, Mother Nature, the credit for that, or their God, whatever God or gods they have. And so they see it as community property that no individual should claim by himself, and they all share it. If the boat is there and you want to go fishing, you have a right to take that boat. The boat is community property. There are societies just like that now. Isn't that proof that man has in his nature, and when he begins, before industry takes over everything and modern law takes over everything, isn't that evidence that God's picture of the paradise is true? Yes, that's what he gave us. He gave us the paradise. And we should be conscious of all space, whether we are in charge of it or not. And especially space, the space we call the public domain. The public domain. We need a complete change in the way we think as possessors, owners of stuff, of things, everything. Some of us, we have a house, and the women, I hate to say this, women, sisters, ladies, I better call you ladies, I got to go home. As a young man, very young man, I didn't like, now my mother was like this too, but I sure wouldn't let her know I didn't like it. Boy, she was from Georgia, and she knew, she took a lesson from the slave master. Yeah, she observed how the slave master kept black people in check. And I'm telling you, you rather go out there and fight Joe Frazier than have my mother deal with you. So anyway, my mother would say, "You all get up off my couch with those dirty clothes." Yes, Mama, we should get up off this couch with our dirty clothes. But you ain't helping to communicate to us in a way that's going to get us to respond for long, because you say your couch. And we know we are your children. And we know that you say this is our house. So how come this is your couch? You got it. I'll just keep moving. Now, when it comes to the public domain, we are out there And even whites do it, especially in our neighborhood. A lot of whites, when they come to our neighborhood, they think they came to the garbage dump. And you see them throw trash out the window in our neighborhood. Throw trash out the window. Oh, man. I began to think of the bad treatment we got before the law was made right in the South and in the North. And I want to get in a fast vehicle and catch up with him and put some pain on him. Because I think he's coming from that high mind that makes him think he's a better creation than we are. He's the superior human, and we the inferior animal level human. I feel him coming from that when he opened his window in our neighborhood and throw trash out. But some of them will do it just to contribute to your downhill behavior, degrading behavior, to our degrading behavior. Some of them, not many of them, they're few in number, very few in number, and that's what makes them so hateful and so ugly in their nature and behavior, is because they see themselves as losers. All we have lost. We can't keep these niggas as our inferior anymore. We can't. I said nigga. I think I'm not supposed to say that on the air. Forgive me. I'll pay the fine. Send my 50-cent fine to me. I'll pay it. Yes. So anyway, I say these people are just defeated, and defeat is so bitter for them. See, the law has been made right for all of us. They can't discriminate in housing. So all these ugly laws, they can't tell us to go to the black man's restaurant, black man's fountain, or black man's section in the movies. All that's gone. And some of them, oh, that's such a hard pill for them to swallow. And I believe some of them don't even know that their defeat is dictating or causing them to think and behave in the ugly way they do. I think a lot of them don't even know that. It's just something that has gone into their system and affected their souls and their spirit and mind. And they are just living an ugly, ugly, ugly person's life. Cruel person's life. And I've seen some ugly things done by whites in our neighborhood. Yes? So that when it's found, people say, look how these blacks treat their own property. Look how they treat their neighborhood. Look how they treat this beautiful show that white folks used to go come to when the neighborhood was white. Look how they treat it. Look how they mess up the washroom and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They come in and do and mess it up so that it'll be a bad, bad reflection on us. I pity them, really. I feel sorry for them. They have a terribly damaged psyche. They haven't been able to adjust to fairness and justice. I ask God to pardon them, have mercy on them, and send them something. Let something happen in their life to bring them comfort. And whether they know it or not, I am something that is happening that can bring them comfort.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.